Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly. I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural. Lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seen a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree?
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful Mr. E.
And I'm Jay Clone 71.
It's a good one.
Good year. It's a good year.
Was it?
71, yep.
Good. I wasn't there.
Me either, but I heard.
I didn't arrive till the 90s.
Same.
Mm. Were you born in the 90s?
Yep.
I thought you were born in like 1886.
That was my grandpa.
Wait. Before we get rocking and rolling in today's short topic, we're going to talk about the real boys of Appalachia, or the real sons of Appalachia.
Ooh, all right.
Wild Bill, Buck, and Huckleberry are starting their own TV program, their own YouTube program, where they're going to try to continue Mountain Monsters, but they need help. They have a funding goal. They have a producer that's basically their buddy. It's going to help them like film and do this kind of stuff. But if you like Mountain Monsters, you love Wild Bill, you love Huckleberry, you love Buck, they're doing their own thing. I will put the link. It'll be the top link below for their, it's an Indiegogo, which is their crowdfunding website.
Yep. Yep.
As of recording this, I think they're like 30% of the way there.
All right.
So, because they're trying to get enough to do a whole season.
Right.
But yeah, so please, if you can support them,
go support Wild Bill, also known as Uncle Bill.
Uncle Bill. He's my kid's uncle. So seriously, guys, we love them to death. They're great people.
Yes.
If you can support them financially, that's great. If you can't, at least go subscribe to the YouTube channel. I know they've jumped up to, I think they're already at like 27,000 subscribers.
Oh, geez. All right.
Which I've been, we've been talking to Bill about this forever, that they were so popular that they have a fan base that wants
still
more
there.
Content.
Yep.
And so I think that, to me, proved that. So I'm excited that they're doing YouTube and they're going to start that. I think it's a good content form for them.
I agree.
Because it takes a lot of the reins off of a network or a hardcore producer and all
that.
Oh,
for sure. And Wild Bill does not need reins.
No, I mean, he's Wild Bill. He's supposed to be Wild Bill.
Yes. You got to be free. So he's best. Especially, watch a movie with Wild Bill. And
That was great.
It's the most entertaining thing. It's the only time I've ever looked forward to someone talking during the movie.
Oh, gosh. What was it? The Sasquologist.
Yeah.
We watched with Wild Bill.
Yeah, it was funniest thing ever.
I really, really wish he would have recorded that.
I wish we could have, because that was gold.
Heck yeah, brother. And he's like, that's how it is.
Right in the middle of the movie.
Yeah.
Loud. Just loud.
And it just was like trying not to laugh. But he's great. But yeah, any other thoughts?
Well, with those guys, go get those guys a follow and support.
At least follow them if you can. We'll try to remember to put both links for the YouTube page and the Indiegogo.
Correct. Yep. And then speaking of Wild Bill, we're still hoping and planning on him being at Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree 2, October 4th.
Yes.
Here at our hometown, Nato, Ohio. So if you haven't gotten your tickets yet.
There are still tickets available. I think we're over halfway sold already. Yes.
So we're getting down to the end. It's going to be here before you know it. So I guess save the date on your calendar and come see us October 4th this year. War Memorial Park at in Ada, Ohio. October 4th. And we're starting at, what are we starting at, 9 o'clock Saturday?
Yeah. Speakers start at 10.
10, yep.
And then the family room stuff starts at 10.
So it'll be
The vendor market and stuff opens at 9.
9, gotcha. We'll be there all day.
Yeah, 9 to 5. And then we'll have an after party. We're still working on a location for that.
Right, yeah.
But we're figuring that out. Look at the Facebook page. You'll see it posted.
Vendor, speakers, family room, music, all sorts of stuff we got going on.
But yeah, how exciting.
Very exciting.
Uran, if you're listening, I'm calling you out. You're bringing my puppy to the jamboree.
Uh-oh. It's
otherwise, happening. Otherwise, that's going to be a long drive.
Oh, yeah. Then we got all that stuff on the other front. But if you're following on our Patreon, you can get updated with what he's talking about with getting dogs and things changing in the Cryptids of the Corn front.
Yep. All right. We're going to talk about the totally bizarre abduction and space adventure of Elizabeth Claire, Kel, or K-L-A-R-E-R.
K-L-A-R-E-R. Clarer. Yeah, there you go.
Claire.
All right, enough.
Okay. But yeah, we're going to talk about her interesting abduction and space adventures.
Ooh, space adventures.
Mm-hmm.
And great, here we go.
So there's a lot of weird alien abductions over time. Times when people get taken willingly or not, whisked off to unknown places, often coming back with some very strange stories. Such accounts can fall in many places and ranges of the weird. But one of the weirdest that has ever happened is that of the South African woman who claims to not only have been spirited away to an alien planet, but to also have an alien lover and a child.
Hmm.
Ready for her story?
Yeah. I wonder if it's going to parallel, like, the Stan Romanek story when he was abducted.
I don't remember that one.
I think you can find it on, what is the name of it? It's got one name as the title, but I remember it's the title, and then it's the Stan Romanek story. You can find it. I think I saw it on, like, Apple TV a few years ago. But he got abducted and talked about having memories or just being on the ship,
mm-hmm.
seeing another woman there, remembering they, like, took DNA from him and had kids with him.
We've talked about this, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So looking at her life before the strangest starter, one would never accuse Elizabeth of being particularly unusual, crazy, or unhinged. She was actually very respectable. She was born in South Africa in 1910. She studied music and meteorology in England before serving as an accomplished pilot in the Royal Air Force and working in South Africa Air Force Intelligence decoding secret German transmissions. So this is a very accomplished woman.
Person, yeah.
It would not be until after the war, when it was in 1950, she read a book about UFOs and began to have long-buried memories come floating back to the surface from her childhood. She recalled when she was 7 years old that her and her sister had seen luminous silver disc over their farm, as well as bright orange and red lights created, a plethora of flew-by past in the night sky. She would remember having several other sightings of the disc over the years. She claimed that her sister and their Zulu farmhand had also seen these things.
Hmm.
That wasn't strange enough. It would be utterly bizarre, or it wouldn't get utterly bizarre until the 1950s. That's when she experienced would kick off the weirdest case of alien abductions on record, at least one of them. The earlier memories coming back caused her to develop a deep interest in UFOs. This happened a lot with people, right? Like Whitley Strieber's Close Encounters. People like freaked out seeing the grays that had abductions that they had like blocked off.
Right.
And then
repressed memories or something.
And then when he put that on screen, it caused him to remember and it freaked him out.
Mm-hmm.
So she didn't have anything as dramatic, but seeing UFOs, Air Force, all that stuff later, read a book and then it triggered. I seen those things.
Some things clicked. Yeah.
So as even stranger, a series of UFO sightings in 1954 brought her to investigate a remote rural hillside outside of Johannesburg. According to the native Zulu people in the area, the UFO is actually a mythical light bird from their lore. But when she arrived, she had an encounter with what she believed was most definitely a spacecraft, appearing to be a spinning disc that was a stationary dome at the center. The craft emitted a humming noise, and she claimed to see one of the craft's occupants through a porthole. She tried to get a closer look, but claimed that she was pushed away by a wave of heat pouring off of it. She would then claim to have begin having telepathic communications with an entity that called itself Akon.
Akon and Young Jeezy?
From the planet Miton, in the galactic region of Alpha Centauri, and also he as his crew member and a scientist aboard the spaceship, as well as having the fact of being that she was seeing him through the porthole. She would then become obsessed with all of it, going back to the hill several times in hopes of seeing the ship in Akon again. In 1956, she would get her chance. When she once again saw the craft descend on the hill, this time a very different, as Akon revealed himself to her and introduced her to his, you know, companions, describing the ship's botanist and astrophysicist. The aliens then invited her aboard the ship. When she described it merely as a scout ship and brought her to a much larger cigar-shaped mothership that was, you know, reportedly 5 miles in length, includes cities, parks, trees, flowers, and even a lake within it. So the big mothership was like a whole, like, living habitat.
Ecosystem.
According to her, she spent some time in this vast mothership meeting the inhabitants of the quote-unquote city ship, which was said to look just like humans. A bit taller, she said better looking, and more considerate and gentle. Though not aggressive and violent, she also learned that they were actually originally from a planet, the planet Venus. And they relocated to Metron years and years ago, eons, after Venus had become inhabitable. According to them, Venus had long ago had all kinds of life and vegetation. It was very similar to Earth. But it gradually became more and more hostile, becoming the exodus that brought them to their new home far away. She would say this of this. The Venusian scientists recognized the sun was a visible star with a maximum minimum period of sunspot cycles, which happened to this day. And at the center of the epochs, its time is extended. Now, the sun is expanding and contracting all the time. It is pulsing like heat, but it's certain epochs that it expands more and intensifies its radiation. Now that it's happening to Venus, it's being closer to the sun. Her seas had dried out. Her little fauna that had remained there and all the flora were destroyed. And then, of course, the dinosaurs, which had dominated the Earth, were destroyed through what they said was this intensive radiation burst. So it did affect this thing that destroyed Venus, did affect Earth. But it had a mass extinction, not a complete extinction.
Yeah.
The great civilization of Venus, which was called the Mother Planet, was able to get away from Venus, landed on Earth and the Moon as way stations before it made its first venture into deep space. What were you going to say?
I just always had questions with that. You know, the theory of Venus, how we were taught, it was Earth-like, and then the greenhouse effect happened, and the whole planet just...
I don't remember that at all.
That's what we were taught, the greenhouse effect on Venus. You know, it trapped all the gases, and that's why it got so hot and the way it is today. But like you said in that thing, saying all, you know, the seas all dried up. Where's that water go?
It either evaporates or it breaks down. So I don't know.
To where, though?
It would just be like break down to hydrogen and oxygen.
Okay, so it's still there. It's just in gaseous form.
Yeah, not even water vapor form.
Yeah.
That if it's that intensive radiation, it may have burst it apart.
Right. It became hydrogen and oxygen.
Yeah. Separate. Where it, you know, if that is true and it's that intensive of a radiation burst, it may have actually broke them apart.
That'd have to be the only way, in my opinion. I don't know. That just always bothered me, I guess.
That, and if it's too hot, I'm talking from its proximity to the sun, not greenhouse gases or whatever.
Right.
If it's too hot, even if it quote-unquote rains, it doesn't stay. It evaporates, you know, relatively instantaneously.
Right.
Maybe pools, you know, here and there kind of thing, but no oceans anymore. You know, they can't form.
Right.
But I don't know. I really don't know.
I don't know either. It was just a thought.
But yeah, in the story that the Venusians are telling her, that if it's that big of a radiation burst from the sun that it killed the dinosaurs, you know, that last mass extinction we had.
Right.
Yeah, Venus is a lot closer.
Hmm.
So it may just, you know, turned up to 10.
Right. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So they then moved to Metron, which is the home planet because it's very similar to their mother planet, Venus. Had very similar atmospheric conditions, distance from their star, and also, most important of all, it had a high vibrational rate, which is comparable to advanced civilizations and consciousness.
It's like having a high credit score in space.
Mm. They had based on the moon, Mars, and Earth, and they still visit those places. These Venus people left this, you know, a section of their society here on Earth to look after the planet and advance the mentality and the consciousness of the indigenous people of this planet, which was they were in what they claimed were in the process of doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
This could be that secret society or the people living in Antarctica and stuff like that.
Right, the breakaways.
They are the, not even the breakaway. These are just the Venusians that stayed behind to kind of help shepherd us as everybody else left.
Mm, gotcha.
She also, she then was returned to Earth. She had several meetings with Akon, still on the same hill. She found herself being attached to him and attracted to him. During their rendezvous, Akon promptly gave her a silver ring that enhanced her telepathic abilities.
He put a ring on it.
And told her that she was, in fact, the reincarnated Venusian with whom he had been romantically involved with in Venus and is still alive, or that was still alive before he fled to Metron. And they were, in fact, soulmates.
He's tricking her. He ditched his wife and came to Earth and's like, you're actually my wife, that you were there, remember?
Yeah. One thing led to another, and according to her, they consummated their relationship, leading to a pregnancy with Akon's child.
Mm.
It was said that she decided to run off with her alien lover in 1958, and he agreed to take her all the way or up to the mothership once again, after which she was taken to Metron itself. They would then learn one of seven planets that civilization claimed as its own. She allegedly stayed on Metron for a full 4 months, gave birth to their son that they named Aelin.
Hmm. Aelin.
Aelin.
Hmm.
Alien.
Yeah, exactly.
As for the planet itself, she described it as meticulous detail, including their government, educational system, way of life, even the flora and the fauna. According to her, the planet was a utopian society. No war, no crime, no poverty. Everyone has equal access to plentiful food, energies, with no monetary system at all, and the method of creating unlimited renewable energies. The people wore luxurious clothes fashioned from silk. They lived in expensive parks. And since there were no tall buildings or factories, there was no pollution. She even explained that all the education was done through telepathy or, you know, roughly similar means,
mm-hmm.
eliminating the need for school books, physical buildings, and that kind of stuff.
Mm.
In an interview with researcher Stan Brush, she would say this of the planet. It was similar size to Earth, a little larger, covered in vast seas, and the lands were all islands, not continents. Climate was beautiful, under control, and in fact, a real utopia. They had everything they wanted. There are not only thousands of years ahead of us in technology, but they are also very spiritually advanced. No politics, no laws, no monetary system. Medicine is a scientific activity and not required for health, since they're all perfectly healthy. Their way of thinking is quite different from what most people on Earth understand. They are loving, gentle, and very constructive people.
Hmm. And it just sounds like the people Admiral Byrd met.
It's very. There's a lot of similarities there, and mm-hmm. according to her, those people would be Venusians.
Hmm. Gotcha.
Everyone's industrious, does their own work, like most things. There's no need for law because there's no crime. There's no police. Everyone is free and has a code of ethics. They constantly create beauty around them, and in general, they live in complete harmony with nature. Their homes are lovely. They can see you can see them from the inside. The materials are transparent one way. They don't have schools or universities. Their education system is completely visual.
Wait. Go back with their homes. They're transparent one way.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see in or out?
You can see out.
Huh. That's pretty cool. I never thought about something like that.
Yeah. So nobody can see inside your house.
But you can see everyone out.
You can see out. They don't have any school. They do it visually. All done with this electric mirage is how she could describe it.
Yeah. Okay. Like a screen.
Keep in mind, she's from the 1950s.
Right. Yeah. No, that makes, I think she's,
VR is kind of the way I, well, maybe.
I think she's doing a good job. Yeah. Or electric VR as, or what'd you say? Electric.
Mirage.
Mirage. More like them putting, you know, Aliens where we talked about, Daryl talked to us about putting like a screen memory. That, mm-hmm. to me, that's an electric mirage.
Sure.
It's just what your eyes, they're making your eyes see.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
They have a little antenna about 3 inches long that they insert into their niche in their homes and on the walls of spaceships. No, that's like the piece of technology that they use to produce this thing.
Oh.
A 3D scene fills the room, an advanced form of, you know, now we call it a holograph or a hologram. Mm-hmm. There are no books. They travel a great deal. The young children are taken around the galaxy so they can learn from experiences and see all the wondrous things.
As any child should.
Mm-hmm. They can use the electric mirage to go back to former places they visited and even former times in history.
Oh, so it's like, what are those?
Holodeck.
That or those like Palantir bikes.
Oh, yeah, there you go. They can, for instance, view our planet in the time of the dinosaurs. They have beautiful paintings and create lovely music, harmonic music, and uplifting spirituality, which relates to their harmonic music and the galaxy. Hmm. They communicate by means of telepathy most of the time. They educational concepts are, you know, they get transferred that way. They're capable of thinking in terms of basic concepts, not dependent on language. They perceive the feelings behind the words, mm-hmm. not the words themselves. There is no problem in learning the language such as Earth, you know.
Right.
So yeah, they can talk normally, and they pretty much only do that when they're interacting with a human or another species. But when it's really just themselves, they just, you know, use the telepathy to really talk to each other.
Right. Why waste the energy of breath and
it's
air?
It's easier to exchange ideas. It's instantaneous. Faster.
Yeah. Well, like you said too, they're all taught by taught that way too, like mm-hmm. and rather than book form or anything like that, which it's a double-edged sword, but that would be an amazing, I think that would be an amazing thing for society, but it could also be a very horrible controlling thing for society. So, I mean, I don't know. Information is just information. And you can learn whatever from whatever information you have access to.
So, all in all, it seems like a pretty great place to live. She would have liked to stay there forever. However, the conditions proved to be too much for her physically there on the planet. Mm. She would explain that the vibrations of the magnetic field were too different from on Metron compared to Earth, which weakened her heart and forced her to return to her home world occasionally.
What you're saying, Metron, is it Metatron?
No.
M-E-T-A?
M-E-T-O-N.
Oh, M-E-T-O-N.
Meton? Metron?
Meton. Meton?
Well, however you say it.
I don't know either, but I've heard of Metatron before. Isn't that from Transformers?
Yeah, that's okay. The bad guy.
I thought so. I'm like, wait a minute.
Something. I probably said it a couple times on accident.
Something's sitting funny.
No, so the vibrations from the magnetic field on this planet were too different. So mm-hmm. long-term stay was impossible for mm-hmm. her. It was weakening her heart and causing other health, you know, denigrations.
Yeah.
Which if you you see that in other places, like if you even on Earth, if you go up to the mountaintops, oxygen, gravity, all, you know, there's so many yeah. things that affect you differently if you're not from that environment.
Mm-hmm.
Like even if you dive too deep in the ocean, you get the bends, you know.
Oh, for sure. Or you know, return back up. You're saying yeah. too
yeah.
fast.
Yeah, there's problems that occur from just on this planet.
Correct.
From changing habitats.
So you're switching to a whole different one with yeah. a whole different. Well, she said electromagnetic.
That's what frequency. She was blaming, but who knows?
Well, and it goes into what like I think planets aren't physical other balls out in space that you can fly to. I think they're just different. I think it's here. It's still here. It's just different
planes of reality.
Planes of reality, different frequencies, and but it's all still just here. So maybe she did just shift into a different dimension, which is a different planet, and that different dimension just doesn't jive with our bodies that are meant for this dimension.
So after some time, her weakened heart had forced her to return to her homeworld, Earth. And after a tearful goodbye to Akon and Metan, even leaving her son behind as well in order to complete his education, she returned to Earth.
See, now this seems kind of odd, too, because Akon, being that, you know, a smart, advanced being he is, or they all are, they should have known that she wouldn't be able to last there for long. You know, he should have already known that. So, and then he fathered a child from her just to knowing she's going to have to go back without the child.
Maybe she was the first one.
Hmm.
Maybe their concepts aren't as the same as ours, because maybe that relationship is fine to be that short.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I don't know.
Taking a child away from her mother. They know these emotional feelings. They know what it is.
There she would sometimes meet Akon, so on the hill, and Aelin, frequently speak throughout, you know, these hypergraphic calls, you know, talks.
Right.
So she would still see them and still have constant communication with them and all that stuff.
Kind of like how a Princess Leia sent that message to Obi-Wan.
Yes. According to her, Akon and her son would later embark on a journey across the universe together. She used her experiences to preach for the Society of Peace, Love, and Environmental Understanding, trying to raise awareness of things and bring people of Earth to a higher level of being of like that of her beloved Venusians.
Yeah, and there's something definitely to it. With all this stuff, it's been going back so far. There's so much alien lore. And this talk of these high vibrational beings, you know, living in a utopia. That's just been going on for a long time. It's at least being talked about. So part of me thinks it could be real.
So after this, in the meantime, her story came out and she became a, you know, sort of celebrity in the UFO community. Being interviewed by top researchers in the field at the time, she became extremely popular in the convention circuit and was a great honor to have at the 11th International Congress of UFO Research Group in Wishbannon in 1975. Which was attended by scientists of 22 nations, and she was given, you know, a standing ovation for her talk. Her story also made news headlines around the world, where she was unfortunately most often the butt of the joke,
right? Yeah,
and ridiculed. Yet she adamantly stuck and defended her story was real. In addition, she went on to write many books about her experiences. It would later be published in 1980, though under the title "Beyond the Light Barrier." In that book, she would claim that she had drawn the attention of nefarious government parties who intimidated her and tried to silence her. She began to work on her second book called The Gravity File, but her death in 1994 saw it unfinished. I would like to get this Gravity File, even the incomplete one. There was little left, you know, to tell. There was quite a lot left to tell. Well, you know, what do you think of this wild story? But yeah, so what do you think?
Well, let's just say, I believe her.
I'll tell you this about her with this story and everything like that. A lot of interviews. She did a lot of stuff for a long time. Lie detectors, all that, you know, whether you believe that they're as accurate as they say or not, you know, and even now I think a lot of court systems don't even use lie detectors anymore.
Because they're
admissible.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you can fail them on purpose.
And you can pass them on purpose.
Yeah, or, it's harder to pass them.
Correct, but it can be done.
You can cause yourself to fail on questions they know, like, you can cause yourself to say no, even though they know the answer is yes.
Right.
So it looks like a fail.
Right.
So they're admissible, I guess. They can be, like, for this stuff, I do think that they can add a little bit of credibility. But, like, you know, you take them with a grain of salt and kind of deal with any of this.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But she was one of those people, like, we talk about Bluff Creek Bob Gimlin a lot. He never changed his story.
Right.
Never once backtracked, never once faltered. Tons and tons of accusations against him. From all extents and purposes, he's a very nice man. And I think there's a credit to that. And it's same with her. I think there's a credit to that, you know, 20 years she was in the public eye. UFO conferences, skeptics, you know, people coming at her, never really faltered, never did anything, changed the story dramatically and, you know,
right.
All that. What were you saying, though? You think this happened to her? She believes this happened?
Yeah, well, I believe her, I guess I'm saying. There's because there's other similar, unless this is just like a kind of a, well, I don't even know how, like a program that's implanted into people's minds and thoughts where it's a similar experience, I guess. Because this,
there's a lot of Venusians. There's a lot of people that, especially in the 70s, that had encounters with Venusians, which we call like tall Nordics now.
Right. Whatever these beings are, mm-hmm. being similar beings with similar behaviors and similar experiences from the people, like having kids and stuff like that. And
a lot of that.
Which is weird. To me, it's weird. Because just like the point I said before, they know. They'd have to know that their bodies couldn't make it there that long. I don't know. Because they're not, advanced, quote unquote advanced, they are. They got to know these things already. So to me, it kind of seems like they, maybe they do live, you know, in harmony. They do live in peace and stuff to a certain degree. But to me, it just feels like they kind of used her to have the child.
Now, I wonder how much of this. So there's thoughts that, like, these type of beings, even grays, are us from the future.
Uh-huh.
And they genetic bottlenecking has occurred in humans.
Yeah.
We lost a significant amount of the population, and, there's genetic bottlenecking that occurs. We've talked about that on the show. Tons of different species. Humans aren't exempt to it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it happens to us much quicker than other animals due to our complex, structure.
Yep.
So that's one thought people always talk about, is that these are humans from the future coming back, acting as spacemen or whatever,
mm-hmm.
to integrate past DNA into them.
Right, yeah.
So that maybe it's not nefarious, quote unquote, but it's not, they're not telling the full truth either.
Right, yes. That's more what I'm getting at, I think.
Yeah. They're not.
Because that didn't hurt her.
Like, we've had people on the show that have talked about, like, the stealing of the seed and stuff like that. Like, mm-hmm. there's definitely nefarious. Because they didn't, like you said, they didn't hurt her. The kids seem fine. Like, they had a relationship. They continued to have a relationship for many years until she passed away.
Right.
20 years later.
Right, yeah.
You know, she didn't die of cancer from the weird radiation that she encountered.
Right.
You know, 3 years later.
That would have been different.
Because she was, she was born in, what did I say, 1910? And died in 1994?
1994 is definitely when, I remember when you said she was born.
She was born in the early 1900s.
Okay.
So she lived a full life.
Right,
So, not like she, there was, I agree with you. There's not a lot of the nefarious angles, but there's still that weird through line.
Yeah. That they're taking people and taking their DNA and having offspring.
What if they are, we combine both ideas, they are this breakaway society that lives maybe in the hollow earth or whatever.
And they're dipping into the human gene pool for diversity?
They are
or
humans.
Genetics?
They are humans.
Well, you know what I mean.
They've stepped away from the normal group where they're starting to suffer from genetic bottlenecking.
They're dipping into the normal human.
Yeah, so they're coming back out.
Yeah.
Now, maybe why, if you believe all this stuff in the 40s, that they've been maybe separated from humans from the
for a long time.
For, hundreds of years, if not thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
And then the only reason they came back out is because of nukes. Like, okay, that can affect us too.
Right, yep.
You know, we share this ball with you, so that, that's something that can really devastate an area fast.
You're going to start reining these guys in a little bit.
Or the genetics thing, that they've been separate for so long that they are starting to have genetic, bottlenecking occurring in their right. population.
They need some new.
So they start coming out and mingling.
Right, and then maybe they only pick certain people of certain vibrations.
That yeah. Or that's a lie, that they just tell you so they seem like spacemen.
Well, I'm saying they want people with certain genetics so they can still maintain that. They want good genes is what mm-hmm. I'm saying. They're hyper-specific on their genes. So maybe you have to have certain qualities or characteristics or DNA.
It could
already.
Just be where they're originally from, right? If they're, let's say they are Nordic in original, genetics.
Right, yeah.
They just happen to be much more advanced than anybody else, 4,000 years ago
mm-hmm.
or three, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's maybe why they pick a lot of those type of people.
Could be. I don't know.
Don't know.
I don't know. It's a weird one, man. I read this book called Bringers of the Dawn by Barbara Marciniak, I think is her name. And it's literally just like all this stuff. She's talking to these beings from other planets, and they're calling her like a star seed and things like that. And It's really interesting and weird book, and I believed her. It was just so detailed, and reading the book, I believed her experiences because she had a lot of odd facts to bring to the table that were okay. And but overall, you know, the messages that these beings, I forget what they were from. I think these ones were like Arcturians or something like that. You know, there's
that's one,
all sorts of stuff like that, and communicating her, but sending her the same exact messages and same exact type of thoughts, you know, that she should be relaying to humanity. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's something weird with it all, whether it's all kind of the same story. I don't know what
there
it is
a lot of that. There's like in the 60s and 70s, there's like four UFO encounters.
Mm-hmm. So is that like a program to integrate, to communicate with us or to interact with us to take DNA, but at least seem not nefarious?
I mean, it's not as bad as some of the DNA taking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've had people on the show talk about how horrendous that aspect can be.
Yeah.
This at least was nice.
No, pleasant all the way around.
She got a vacation.
Yeah.
She still got to talk to her kid.
Yeah, like good cop, bad cop.
Yeah, like the Grays, when they do it, they like put you in a room back with your kids 8 years later and like, we don't know why they're crying.
Right, yeah, right, exactly.
Like, yeah, I wonder why.
What's, or like two major corporations that do the same thing, but one of them does it the cheap, you know, cheap, a cost efficient way where they'll deny all that stuff. And then there's one that's very, very extremely expensive, the nice resort, you get the full on treatment, you actually get treated well. But they're still using you.
Yeah, yeah. It's
still, yeah. Whichever way. So
same you got goal, just
different approaches. Process. Yeah, yeah. And if you're an advanced society, you know, living in harmony, you're probably going to go about that route where you're not going to be. If you're going to need something, you don't have to be an aggressive, you know, what's the blitzkrieg? You know, take it by force like some of these alien encounters are. You're probably going to do it a very passive. Enjoyable way, so no one's ever gonna turn on you or suspect you or see you in negative ways to attack you. I don't know.
So before we wrap up here, I do want to just say thoughts and prayers for Texas Camp Mystic. There's still a bunch of, as of recording, this is still a bunch of people missing. A bunch of people have lost their lives in Camp Mystic.
Women and children, and men, women, children, all across the spectrum.
A bunch of kids.
Mm-hmm. It's really sad.
I know the head of the guy that's the head of the camp died trying to save a couple kids.
I've heard a lot of horror stories about people dying saving people.
So, just prayers, thoughts for those people. We're not going to deal anything with the conspiracy side of all that. I know there's plenty of people talking about that side, but
right.
Real people lost life, you know, and limb, you know, in that horrible, horrible event. So, thoughts and prayers go out for them. I don't know if there's a way to donate or if, I don't know anything about that, but if you can look into that. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. So a very
bit of
sad.
A little bit of a sad note to end on, but it's important to say something.
It's important to make it the country aware because at the end of the day, if you're in this country, I guess, listening to us, we're all part of the same country. We're all under the same umbrella.
We're all people.
We're all neighbors.
All right, I have been the Great and Powerful Mystery.
And I've been J-Clone 71.
We'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J-Clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye! Bye.
When it comes to home insurance, Geico works for you. And since I'm the Geico Gecko, I work for you too.
Hey, Gecko, could you DJ my workout?
I got you, Derek. I know you like them sweet beats on leg day. Great at home gym, by the way.
That's fire, Gecko.
I call this remix. Bundle your home and car insurance so you can save and get coverage that grows with you.
Oh, yeah. Rolls right off the tongue. And you know what else I like?
Air horn.
Oh, yeah.
Let Geico work for you. Get more with Geico.